Lord, we kneel before you now, believing that you can do anything. And God, claiming the promise of these verses that God, if we would trust you with our whole heart, God, not leaning on what we know and what we see and what we think and what we can understand, but God, trusting you wholeheartedly, God, trusting, believing that you're able, believing that you can move mountains, God, believing that you can do anything, God, trusting that you love us, that you hear us, that you answer us. God, would you grant trust today in me? God, would you release faith and trust to everybody in the room right now? Everybody who's listening, God, give us trust. Give us faith that you never fail, that we can count on you. Lord, in every way, God, in everything we do, Lord, every aspect of our lives, God, I pray, would you forgive us for being compartmentalized and holding back parts of our life from you? God, in everything, everything about us, everything public, everything private, God, everything that we would boldly declare, and God, even those secret dreams or hurts or wounds of our heart, God, in every way, we want to acknowledge you and say, God, you're for us, you're with us, you're able. God, we invite you into every aspect of our life. And God, I pray your spirit would permeate every thought, everything. God, body, soul, spirit, everything. In all our ways, we're acknowledging you. God, we're looking to you and we're declaring, God, you're going to direct our steps. You're going to make our path straight. So Lord, as we do this today, I just speak, would you open doors? God, would you release your resources? God, would you answer us and meet us? God, would you prove your faith and your faithfulness, God? Today, direct our steps. Hear us as we pray and as we kneel. We praise you. We bless you. Teach us now to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad that you're here today. We're asking God to teach us how to pray. How many of you could say over the last couple of weeks, God's changing the way you pray? Anybody? Anybody? Come on, somebody at some campus. I know y'all are raising your hands. We're raising our hands around the room. Say, God's showing us how to pray. He's moving us, right? He's taking us from praying religious, really dispassionate prayers of obligation, and he's teaching us to pray our Father. Man, there's an intimacy with God. There's an enjoyment of God. The real goal of praying is not to get an answer. It's just to get God. When you get God, you got the answer, right? So he's teaching us to pray our Father. We're learning to pray not backwards, but forwards. We're learning to pray not my stuff, my wants, my needs, but to start our prayers with your name, your kingdom, your will, right? We want to pray forward. And that for a lot of us is changing. It's transformational. Well, today we're going to continue with this opportunity for God to teach us how to pray, okay? And here's what I want to ask you. How would you describe your prayer life, okay? How would you describe your prayer life? Many of us would describe our prayer lives with words like this, same old, same old. I'm praying the same old stuff about the same old stuff for a long time, right? Same old, same old. Some of us might describe our prayer lives as 911 hotline. Man, whenever I'm in a bind, man, I go to God, and that's really when I do most of my praying. Maybe you would describe your prayer life as timid, irregular, inconsistent, not real confident, selfish maybe. So if you would describe your prayer life that way, here's what I want you to hear today. God wants to change that about you. He wants you to learn to pray bold, confident, competent prayers where they're fresh and life-giving and powerful prayers. God wants you to learn to pray in a powerful way, okay? Now that leads us to what Jesus is going to teach us, Matthew chapter 6. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're studying the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, the way Jesus taught us to pray. Not to recite the prayer, but to learn the principles that he's teaching so that you can learn to pray powerfully. We've learned our Father, the principle of love. We've learned hallowed be your name, the principle of faith. God can do anything. Today we're going to learn a new principle. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9 says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right? Let's open your heart right now. Just say, God, teach me how to pray. God, teach me how to pray. What does it mean to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done? Well, let's break down those two concepts. What does it mean for his kingdom to come? The kingdom of God is simply the rule and the reign of God, okay? A king has a throne and his kingdom is where he rules. God's kingdom is his rule and his dominion exercised. The kingdom of God, listen, is a supernatural and spiritual kingdom as opposed to earthly and natural and what you see. The kingdom of God is marked by the presence and the power and the provision of God. There are two aspects of the kingdom of God that you need to lock it down, right? One is that the kingdom of God is not yet fully here. Okay, the kingdom of God is not yet fully here. There will come a day whenever Jesus returns from heaven, he promised, and he will make all things right. In that day, every injustice will be justified. Everything that is evil will be judged in that day. Sin will be eradicated. Sickness will be done. Jesus Christ and his rule and his reign will be seen, experienced, and acknowledged in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every knee is going to bow, okay? Now, Jesus is teaching us to pray, come back. Come back, Jesus. Make that kingdom a reality. Revelation 11, 15 talks about that day. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. He will reign forever and ever. God's going to come back and rule on this planet, a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 22, 20, the second to last verse of the Bible says, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Now, I want to ask you, how many of y'all been praying that? Anybody here been praying that? Lord, just come on back. Some of y'all, most of y'all who are a little bit older been praying that, right? But young people typically don't pray that. Some of y'all who are about to get married in the next 6 months, y'all are praying the opposite. Lord, if you'll just hold out. If you'll just hold off, right? I mean, come on, be real. You prayed that prayer, and then you get married, been married a little while, and then you start praying, Lord Jesus, just come on back, please. Just please. My wife's been praying that more and more. I don't know what that says about us, right? But you know, that would change your prayer life if you just started praying, Jesus, all the craziness that is our world right now, would you please, I expect that you're coming, come on. Come on and make it right. Come on and establish what you know is one day coming. Praying the kingdom of God is part of your prayer practice. You ought to be praying that. The kingdom is not yet. God, bring it. But yet, listen, the kingdom of God is already. The kingdom of God is already here. Not in its fullness, but nonetheless, God's kingdom rule is now here. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those three gospels alone, Jesus taught about the kingdom over 100 different times. Jesus said things like this in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent and believe in the gospel. You want to get in on the kingdom, the spiritual thing God's doing. He said things like this in Luke 17, verse 21, behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's just not near, it's here. The last thing Jesus talked to his disciples about before he ascended into heaven, Acts 1:3 says he talked to them about the kingdom of God. He talked to them about what the spiritual, supernatural rule of God would be like and is like right now. That's what the early church preachers preached about. Guys like Peter and Paul and a guy named Philip, they preached not just Jesus can save you, but Jesus brought the kingdom. And it's here, Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Please hear me, because a lot of you've been raised in church. God is trying to teach you how to pray. And we don't have an understanding about the kingdom of God. You feel like if you go to church, you check that box and that's it, and that the goal of church is to help you be a better person. That is a lie. The devil does not care if you ever go to church. That does not scare him. He's fearful that you're going to learn that you are now a part of the kingdom of God. That there is power supernaturally, spiritually available to you right now. That God breaks the strongholds of the enemy. He releases his power to you right now. So I'm saying to you college kids, it's awesome that you're in church today. Boom, I'm so glad you've made the right choice. But I want you to know God wants you to walk in kingdom fullness now. I'm saying to some of you who've been going to church so long, you sure ought to have cobwebs on you, right? But you have never experienced what I'm talking about. The kingdom of God, the best time for you to start experiencing the kingdom of God is now, if you haven't been. God wants you to experience his supernatural, spiritual rule and reign, his power, his presence, his provision right now, today. We're reading through the book of Acts right now as a church family. And in the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts, here's how the kingdom of God has been manifested, okay? People talk in languages that they've never studied, and people turn from sinfulness to Jesus. A lame man got healed. Weak men found courage. Selfish people became generous. Lying people were killed. A dying martyr has a vision of heaven and Jesus, and he prays to forgive even the men who are killing him. A man named Saul was blinded by a light and heard Jesus talk from heaven. Peter healed a paralyzed man. He raised a dead woman back to life. He got a vision from heaven that coincided with what another man was praying and got a vision from heaven. And those two things came together, and God opened up a whole new avenue for the gospel. Listen, all those things are accomplished by his Holy Spirit and by prayer. The kingdom of God coming through the presence of God and through prayer. And I want to say to you, the spiritual, supernatural reign of Jesus is for you right now. It's over us, but it is in us through Christ, and it wants to come through you in your praying. Come on, how many of y'all been praying? The kingdom come now. God unleashed the kingdom among us. Your kingdom come. God, your will be done. What is that? What does that mean to pray, your will be done? Well, the will of God is simply the desire of God, the purpose of God, or the plan of God. God has a will. And can I tell you two things about it? Number one, it's not your way. Y'all know that God's way is not your way. And so we can agree with Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 that say, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we can acknowledge, listen, I'm asking you, would you acknowledge right now in your spirit, you know what, my way and God's way are different and his way's better. Come on, just don't acknowledge that they're different. He says my ways are higher and better. I want to pray for my comfort and convenience. He wants me to pray for my character and Christ-likeness. I pray selfishly. He wants me to learn to pray selflessly. You're praying for the things of this world. He wants you to pray for the things of another world, the spirit realm. Okay? God, your will's different and better than mine. Secondly, God's way and God's will is the best way. Period. Check out this verse, Romans 12, 2. Y'all have quoted it before. We've quoted it from time to time. The emphasis typically is on the first part, the front part of this verse. But I want you to see what he says. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you begin to agree, God, I want your kingdom and your will to be done now. God, it can happen right now. I'm not limited by what I can see and feel and experience. God, I want it now. My mind is transformed. I want the kingdom of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what the will of God is. And here's what the will of God is. Here's how it's described. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Listen, God's will is good. It is perfect. It's acceptable, which means pleasing. It brings joy and pleasure to God and to you. It is perfect. Listen to me. Your best life is found not in the things of this world and trying to get them so your life can be better. Your best life is found in the will of God. Come on. This is not just changing the way I pray. This is changing my mind, my outlook. I'm not just trying to get the best life here. I'm trying to get the kingdom life here, the will of God here into my life. Jesus modeled for you and me living the will of the Father. I'll give you a couple of verses. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. The disciples came back and said, Lord, what you want some food? No, I don't need any food. My food is to do the will of my Father. John chapter 5, very next chapter, Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus said, I do the right things because I'm doing God's will, not mine. John 6, 38, the next chapter. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus wanted to do the will of the Father. Now the question becomes, well, did Jesus ever experience what I experienced, which is my will being in conflict with God's will? Because some of y'all know you're experiencing that, right? You're experiencing a conflict right now between what you think, want, and desire, and maybe what God is saying. So did Jesus ever have a moment like that? Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Jesus was saying, Abba, Father. He didn't just tell you to pray this way. This is the way he prayed. Daddy, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will.
Do you understand that in the garden, Jesus is praying and there's a clash of wills, and yet Jesus willfully lays down his own will for the will of the Father? The kingdom of God and the will of God really go together. When and where his kingdom comes, his will is being done. Where his will is done is the place of his kingship and his kingdom. God brings the kingdom by bringing you into conformity with his will. When you're in God's kingdom, you will seek to do his will. Now, for some of y'all get that conceptually because you're an auditory learner. You hear it, you got it. But some of you are more visual learners, so I want to help you try to get this, okay? I'm going to draw you three circles. Surprise, surprise. But it's a different three circles than we've seen in a while, okay? Three different ways you can live your life because Jesus wants to be your life. The circle is your life. The chair is the throne or who's in charge of your life. S is you, self, that's me, and Christ is Jesus. Christ is outside this person's life. Christ is not in their life. And so listen, I want to be very careful. I can't say this 100% sure, but I'm 99% sure that if this is representative of your life, God does not hear you when you pray because Jesus taught us to pray our daddy. And if Jesus isn't in your life, God is not your daddy. There's a sense in which we are all creations of God, but you are not a child of God until you choose to turn from your sin and yourself and turn to Jesus. That's when you become a child of God and you get to pray daddy. Okay, you hear that? So look, today, man, if you don't have Christ in your life, it'd be a great day for you to say, I don't want to live that way anymore. God, I want you as my Father. And just pray right now. God, I turn from my sin and myself, and I want you. At any point in this message, at any point in your life, when you sense that that's what you want to do, pray it, okay? That's one way. Here's the second kind of life. Life, throne, self, Christ. Christ is in the life, but Christ is not calling the shots. Oh, I got Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, he's there. I got him, but I'm still running the show. Maybe not in every way, but in some ways and in most ways. And you need to know if you're running your life in any way, then Christ is not really on the throne, okay? Now, I want to say something about this particular circle. This particular circle is both dangerous and miserable. It's dangerous because a lot of us fool ourselves into thinking that we're really here with Christ in our life when really you're here. Christ ain't in your life. No, I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. James 2:19 says the demons believe in God and tremble. Come on, you ain't no better than a demon if you believe in God. Oh, no. Well, I go to church. I do some good things. Man, read the Bible, would you please? Luke 7, Jesus said, a lot of people are going to say to me one day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things? And he's going to say, but I didn't know you because you also did your own thing. You never let me be the Lord of your life. That's a dangerous place. Paul said, examine yourself to make sure you really have Christ in your life at all. Okay? It's also a miserable place because if you have Christ in your life, you can't really enjoy sin. The Holy Spirit's kicking your tail the whole time. You're wrong. You're like, I know. But neither do you experience the presence and the power and the provision of God and the supernatural spiritual kingdom either because you're still calling the shots. That ain't no place to live. Come on, somebody. That's not the normal Christian life. Here's the way God designed for you to live. Your life, the throne, Jesus, and you. So that Jesus is not just in my life, but the kingship has come. Jesus, spiritually, supernaturally, reign in me. Bring your presence. And that brings then your power and your provision and everything else. Listen, this is the way the normal Christian life looks. This is the place of learning to pray. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Because when you're praying from this place, listen, heaven is opened up and the presence floods in and the power and provision of God flows through you. Third circle praying. That's what we're talking about today. This is praying your kingdom, your will. This is praying my kingdom, my will. Holding things back. The key to third circle praying is this idea of surrender. Surrendering to God. To say to God, God, of all the things I want to pray for, God, I want what you want more than anything else. God, I want you to work in this given situation. It's been said that prayer isn't getting what you want done in heaven. It's getting what heaven wants done on earth in my life. So the power of prayer for his kingdom to come and his will to be done in any given situation is to surrender to God. Okay, now, how do we pray your kingdom come and your will be done? How do we get this done? If that's what it looks like, how do we get that? How do I pray that kind of prayer? I'm going to give you four things. Number one, here's the way you pray, your kingdom come and your will be done. Aside from just saying, God, bring your kingdom and your will, Here's the way it looks in any given situation where you're trying to figure out, God, how do I pray this through? Number one, surrender. Surrender your way. Surrender your way. Tell God you're going to lay down what you want and you're going to accept whatever he gives. Now, this is a different kind of praying because you know how you want it to go. You know how you think it ought to be. You know what you feel are your capacities and your limitations, right? But for you to start with, God, I lay all that down and I want whatever you want. The inclusion of his kingdom means the exclusion of my kingdom. It means you're going to have to lay down. But God, I thought, because you do have expectations of the future and disappointment with the past. And God is saying, girlfriend, lay that down. Come on, dude, lay that down. You're going to have to surrender, but I thought. You're going to have to surrender, but I won't. I want something. God, my dream, my desire, my hope, the way I think this thing ought to go, what you ought to be doing, God. Look, powerful praying means laying down your demands. This ain't about your kingdom. You got to lay down, God, I'm not. Come on. God, I'm not doing that. I'm not forgiving them. I'm not. Next. I'm not doing that, God. I'm not going there. God, I can't talk to them. I'm not doing that, God. I'm not giving that up. That won't work. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come is a different prayer. You got to give up, God, I can't. But I can't do that, God. I'm too weak. God, I could never do that. God, it'll be too much, and fear keeps you paralyzed. And so you pray anemic, weak, powerless prayers. When God's just saying, trust me, surrender, I can't. Surrender, I won't. Surrender, I thought. Surrender, I won't. Surrender it all to me. Maybe you've been around here for a little bit and you've noticed that a lot of times when we pray, we have our hands open like this and you're like, what in the world is wrong with these people at Pine Lake? They pray like this. Okay, here's what that means for us. Here's why we pray like this. If you're around here very much, you're going to see us pray this way, because we believe that the most powerful prayers start there, not here. And so whenever we pray, we open up our hands, and the first thing we do is say, God, we give you everything we think, we want, we believe. God, we offer that to you and surrender, and we're going to exchange it for what you want. We want to receive. God wants you to surrender and begin to pray with open hands. Number one, surrender your way. Number two, ask God to show you how to pray. God, show me how to pray. Now, look, that's not a bad thing to pray. The disciples asked Jesus, show us how to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. If the disciples had to ask Jesus, show us how to pray, you can ask Jesus, show me how to pray. I think it's okay for you to do that. I think this idea of God, show me how to pray. Listen, this is the idea of you learning to pray through something, not just having a drive-by with God, telling him everything you want him to do, and then nothing ever happening. Because you're not praying for his kingdom and his will. You're not even listening for it. Powerful praying is saying, God, show me how to pray. Show me how to pray. God, is there something that I'm missing here? God, is there something you want that I don't want? God, is there something you see that I can't see? God, you know everything. You know everything about me, about this, about them, about that. God, you who see everything, God, show me the things to say and to pray. What am I missing? What do I not see? Because there are times when you don't know what to pray. And can I just say to you, Romans 8:26 is your promise. When you're praying and you don't even know what to say, Romans 8:26 says the Holy Spirit will figure it out for you and translate it before the throne of God. You just start praying, asking God to show me. He'll cover that gap between what you don't know and what God wants you to figure out. Okay? Sometimes you know you're praying with wrong motives. That's James 4:3, where it says you ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so you can spend it on your own self and your own pleasures, right? How many of y'all know that you can pray with a wrong motive? You're wanting something to move, but it ain't really about God. That's about me. Many times that's why it's helpful if you'll get somebody else to pray for you, because they don't have the same motivation you have. They may want to see Christ formed in you more than just your comfort or convenience. Get somebody to pray for you. But sometimes you got to say, God, would you just take away my wrong and selfish motives in this? Purify that. Sometimes you got to be honest and say, God, I don't even want to pray this. I do not want to pray this. And listen, that's why this is a relationship where your daddy's saying, I know,
but I love you anyway, and I'll help you. Philippians 2:13 is your verse, because it said it is God, your daddy, who is at work in you through the Holy Spirit, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Not only give you the strength to do it, but he will, listen, he will give you the will, the desire to even do it. God, teach me how to pray. Let's get practical with that. Here's when you need to ask God to show you how to pray. You got a job, and it's a good job, but then you get an offer to go take another job. And that other job is 6 hours away from where you currently live, and it pays you 2.5 times the money. And you're like, bam, God just spoke to me. Come on, anybody? More money means God just moved. However, there's a caveat. Your mom and dad, who are in poor health, live in the town where you currently reside, and you're their primary caregiver. How do you pray about that now? Well, on the one hand, you might say, well, God would surely want me to stay and care for my parents. But there's a part of you which may say, but you know what? If I had 2.5 times the money, I could get them some really good care. Okay? I'm saying to you, this is where the rubber hits the road, where you need to be saying, God, show me. Show me. Sometimes you're in that place of marriage where you've passed God, hold on, and you're at that point where you're praying, God, come on back now. And you want to start praying for your marriage, and this is the way, I guarantee you, this is the way you start off praying. God, would you fix her? Oh, my Lord, she's on my nerves. Lord, forgive me for what I cannot believe I married. You told me not to marry her. Right? Come on, fellas. All of a sudden, you're getting real spiritual. Let me tell you, that's the way you start praying is God change them. But let me tell you something. Whenever you start asking God, show me how to pray, you know where he usually starts? Hey, let's talk about you, because that's the only thing you can control right now. Now, let's talk about, how do you pray for somebody who's sick? And I'm not talking about got a cold, sick. I'm talking about somebody sick. And there's a part of us where we want to pray, Lord, would you heal them if it be your will? Now let's go eat some chicken, right? Because that's the way a lot of us learn how to pray. We don't know if it's his will or not. God, if it be your will, that was good enough. And there's zero expectation for God to move. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but that ain't really my business. God's got it, okay? Can I just say to you, that is chicken praying. That is not kingdom come, will be done praying. There are some of you who understand that, listen, everything for healing is already done. And so your mindset is, look, everybody ought to be healed right now. And can I just say to you, the Bible teaches that Jesus' death on the cross, when he became the curse for us, was sufficient to pay for your spiritual sins, but he also broke all the power of the curse for your emotional and physical healing and well-being. God can heal anybody, okay? His kingdom breaking through can change supernaturally what naturally we can't control or stop, okay? We can pray with confidence, God, this is your will, be healed, okay? We can do that. But can I say, sometimes God's method of healing is not always the same. It's not always right now in this moment. Jesus touched a guy a couple of different times. Jesus never healed anybody the same way twice, it seemed, right? There is some variation. Sometimes he can do it in a moment. Sometimes he does use medicine and doctors. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Look, we're talking about a man who raised somebody from the dead, telling another brother who's a preacher, you get sick a lot. Take some medicine. That's essentially what he's saying. Can God heal? Absolutely, yes. And I think our expectation ought to be more and more, God bring the kingdom. God, let it invade earth right now and do supernaturally what nobody in the natural realm believes can happen. Okay? But I also want to say to you that not everybody gets healed this side of heaven. And I'm not saying that to undermine your faith that God will heal, but I am saying to you that it is not up to you and me to demand God heal, that his kingdom and his ways are, remember, they're higher than ours. He sees all of the picture, not just a little bit of the picture. And so we have to yield to the plan of God and the will of God, some things that we know, and then those things that maybe we don't even know, to say, God, is this what you want right now? On our side, I believe. I'm trusting. They believe, they're trusting, but God, what are you saying? What are you saying? I don't believe anybody believed any more in the power of healing than the Apostle Peter. He healed a lame man, raised a dead man, right? But he had to ask God, I believe, what do you want? What do you want to do right now? Before he healed the lame man, the Bible says he fixed his gaze on the man and stared at him for an undisclosed amount of time. But in that time, I believe God the Spirit was speaking to Peter, this is what I want you to do. Before he raised Dorcas from the dead, the Bible says he prayed. Why pray? If God can heal anybody and everybody, why pray? Because he's asking the Father, what do you want to do? And he felt like the Spirit was saying, raise her, speak to her, raise her up. And he did. She got up. I was telling my wife about that story last night. She said, I bet Dorcas was mad. Why, baby? Because she was in heaven, man. Things were right. And she had to come back here, right? But he asked, Father, is this what you want to do? God heals, but sometimes he does not. And that doesn't mean you don't have enough faith or you lost faith. God loves you. He's a good father. Trust him. Last thing is, we're all going to die. Okay, so prayers of faith are not, to pray that God can heal, does not mean anti-aging or anti-death. The Bible's pretty clear. Your chances of dying before if Jesus doesn't come back are pretty high. Come on. It's appointed to a man to die once. The psalmist said the days of your life are numbered before you ever get here. Job says you can't surpass what God has said are going to be the number of your days. And why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because I want to free some of you from guilt or condemnation who have had a loved one die, and now you're hearing about praying rightly, and you feel condemnation that you didn't pray right. If I'd have just prayed, they would have lived. Can I just free you from that? God likes to work through your prayers, but he's not limited by your prayers. Trust him. God, how do you want me to pray? Now here's the promise, Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. If you'll ask him, he'll show you how to pray. So I am surrendering my way and I'm saying, Jesus, show me how to pray. Third step is listen for God. Begin to listen for God. God speaks in a lot of ways when you're praying. He does. And I want to encourage you to begin to listen for God. Remember open-handed praying. God, I'm giving you my deal, but God, I'm asking you, download to me. God, how do you want me to pray? Now listen for God to show you how to pray. In my experience, there have been three primary ways that I think God speaks to me about prayer. Number one is sometimes he'll give me a picture. He'll give me a mental image of what I think he is up to. Okay? Now, that's not out of alignment with this book right here. If you're reading along with us, again, in L3, you're reading right now. The last couple of days, you read in Acts 9 and 10 how Paul had a vision, Ananias got a vision, Cornelius got a vision, Peter got a vision. Look, and that didn't stop. I don't believe that stopped whenever this book got completed. I believe God's still speaking through visions all over the place. God does give us pictures of what's happening. There are times when I'm praying and God just gives me a mental image of his love like a rushing river that I've seen before in the mountains. And man, that mental image just helps me to pray, God, your love is enough. Your love is cleansing. Your love is caring. Your love is overwhelming. Yes, God, I receive love. There may be times whenever you're praying for something and God gives you a picture of your child dancing or your friend dancing and you know they've been battling with addiction or discouragement and you can claim, yes, God, you're going to set them free. I agree with that. You may be praying, God, am I going to get married or not? And God may speak to you, give you just a picture of you on your wedding day in your wedding dress, face lit up, eyes dancing, teeth shining, face glowing because you're looking into the eyes of a man who loves Jesus and loves you, and you're so confident that this is right. Now, you may take that picture and say, well, God may be promising you you're going to get married. Maybe, maybe not. What I think he may be saying to you is, don't get married until you find that guy. Don't you be standing there at that altar popping your knuckles going, oh, gosh, is this right? No, 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 girl, listen. If God wants you to get married, it means he's got a man for you who loves Jesus. That's what you pray for. That's what you hold out for. Okay? God will give you a picture. Sometimes God will just lead you by his Holy Spirit. You'll get an impression at your spirit in your spirit that this is what God wants. God's your Father. Jesus is your Savior. But the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, is your God. How many of y'all asking Siri and Alexa for stuff right now? Right? Y'all got this stuff all over your house and in your car. Can't y'all leave it alone? The government listening to us enough. You want to invite them on into everything else, right?
Not that I'm a conspiracy theorist. But I mean, come on. You say words and all of a sudden on your computer stuff starts popping up. You ask Siri something, Siri will give you an answer. You ask Alexa something, Alexa can tell you the weather in some part of the world. You don't even know where it is. Listen, the same way you ask Siri and Alexa, you can ask God. And the Holy Spirit will respond. Come on, you got confidence in a phone. Have confidence in the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Jesus, teach me. Jesus, how should I pray about this? And just like Siri or Alexa give you an answer, God will give you an answer. God, am I praying the right way? Show me. I was praying for a guy one time for his salvation. I wanted him to know Jesus. And I praying for that and nothing was happening. And so I finally started saying, God, am I praying wrong about this thing? Am I praying? I know it's your will that the man be saved. So God, show me. What am I missing? And I felt the Spirit of God was saying to me, are you praying about the guy's mama and daddy? No, I'm not really praying about the parents at all, because I'm praying about this guy. Well, maybe their faith development will impact his faith development. So let's pray for them. Wasn't really thinking about that, but all right. While we're at it, Chip, do you really love this guy? God, let's not get confused here. I'm praying about him. This ain't about me, right? I'm just telling you, I'm being for real. This really happened in my prayer life. God, this is not about me. It's about him. I'm praying for his salvation. And yet I felt like the Spirit was saying to me, but you got to love. He needs to know he's loved where he is, not just a commodity to be won over. Like, come on, do you hear me? I'm not a perfect prayer. I'm learning to pray. Does that impression sound like something God would want me to pray? Oh, yeah. I can read the word and see that that lines up with the character and the plan of God to pray for the whole scope and for my own heart, even in this thing that I was just praying for that one thing. You got me? So here's what I want to say to you. The third way God's going to speak to you while you're listening is through the word of God. And so if you have an impression or a picture, it has to line up with the word of God. If the impression or the picture you get is of you choking somebody, that ain't really from God, okay? That's probably, no, but I felt it. I saw a picture of it. I was beating them down. Chips, I pray that way. No, that is not it. Whatever you think God's saying, write it down and pray it out through the word. God, is that consistent with the word? Because if it's inconsistent with the word, it is not God. That's you. All right, y'all tracking with that? So the word of God, I'm telling you hands down, point blank, spot on, this is how you learn to pray. This book is not your textbook. It is your prayer book. It's your prayer guide. This is the sword of the Spirit. And so I want to advocate for you. I know that sometimes whenever you're searching for God's will, you go to the back of the Bible and you find that place where it has, topics you can look up, you know, like freedom or like joy or like peace, or you Google it, and nothing wrong with that. You're looking for that specific answer. But can I just advocate for you that if you'll learn to read the Bible systematically, like the L3 plan or another plan, where you're just reading along and all of a sudden out of nowhere, God, boom, he shows you. Now you can say, that's the Spirit of God showing me that. He gave me that today for this day. You need to be reading through the Old and New Testament systematically so the kingdom of God can be released to you supernaturally and spiritually, the presence, power, and promises, provision of God now. Secondly, I would say to you, you ought to memorize the Word of God. You ought to study this book because this book, the Bible is, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And the more of the word you have hidden in your heart, the more you know God and his character and his names and his acts and his promises and those things. As you're praying, it gives the Holy Spirit more weapons, more ammunition, more resources to feed into you to lead you to pray the word of God. More pictures for you to see of sea splitting and provision made and people walking or answers being, you understand what I'm saying? That the word of God is your prayer book. Now, when God speaks, I'm surrendered to you, God. Show me how to pray. I'm listening for you with open hands. And when God begins to speak with pictures and impressions that are confirmed in the word and the character of God, then you pray with boldness. You begin to declare confidently, authoritatively, God, this is your will. And God, this in your time is about to happen. God, this is your kingdom come. God, release it totally and completely in me, around me, around them. God, bring the kingdom. None of this, Lord, if it be your will stuff. No, God, this is your will. Your word is your will. God, I am declaring this is how you want to do this thing. You have a confidence now to pray, a boldness now to pray, a freshness now to pray. Life-giving prayers that are answered from heaven, God moves. And that's so much better than same old, 911, real timid, not real confident, very irregular. No, when God begins to move, as you have a conversation with him, it gives you a hunger for more. Come on, listen, just like drugs form an addiction, just like purchasing can form an addiction, just like rewards can form an addiction. Listen to me. The presence and power of Jesus in your life are addictive. That's why Paul said, don't get drunk with wine. That's wasting time, bro. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit and prayer are intertwined in your life, the kingdom and the will of God are on the way. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, how? On earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what it says? Look back at verse 10. Some of y'all have memorized the Lord's Prayer. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's true. But it's actually backwards. In the Greek text, it actually says, as in heaven, so on earth. It's just easier for us to say, on earth as it is in heaven. But in the Greek text, it's as in heaven, so on earth. Do you know what that tells me? As in heaven, so on earth. Where does the prayer start? As in heaven, so on earth. That powerful prayers for your life start there, not here, not here, not here, not here, there. Holy Spirit, show me how to pray. As in heaven, here on earth. You want me to tell you how the will of God is done in heaven? In heaven, it's done perfectly. Nothing missing, nothing held back. God, I don't want to miss a thing. You know how the will of God is done in heaven? It's done gladly. Nobody's mad about it. Nobody's grudging. Nobody's complaining about what they're giving up. Everybody's saying, God, your way is always good and pleasing and perfect. God, there's a gladness to do your will and to invite your kingdom. You know how God's will is done in heaven? Expectantly. The angels don't know all that God's up to. They're watching just like we're watching. They're experiencing, I think, as it's unfolding like we are. They know where we're headed. They're pulling for you, but they don't know it all. But I believe in heaven, God's will is done with an expectation. When he tells the angels what to do, they're like, oh, Lord, what's he up to now? They can't wait to see. And can I say to you, God wants you to learn to pray. God, I want your kingdom and your will to come into me, into my life, into this circumstance perfectly, gladly. Expectantly, your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Can we pray that way right now? Just every campus, if you're watching on the podcast right now, you're listening, I want you to pray. I want us all to pray this way. God, teach us to pray. So we're going to pray from relationship to your Father. You're going to pray back frontwards, not backwards. But today we're learning to pray surrendered. Third circle praying. Would you just pray just wherever you are? What's God saying to you? Talk to him. What's he showing you? What's he challenging? Where's the Holy Spirit saying, surrender? Lay down what you thought, what you want, what you will or won't do. Lay down your weakness and your excuses about how it can't happen and it'll never be that way. Would you just lay all that down before a God who loves you and whose name will be holy? Would you just ask him right now, God, how do you want me to pray about this? I know I've been wearing you out with what I think, but God, what do you want? Are my motives pure? Is my wanter gone? Is there something I'm missing? God, is there something I'm not seeing? God, is there a bigger picture? God, how do you want me to pray? Speak to me. And as you're praying that, is God giving you a picture or a Bible verse or a sense of leading? Would you test that against what you know of the character and the word and the truth of God?
And would you begin to boldly claim, okay, God, if that's what you're saying, I'm down. I'm good. Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. But I declare freedom is coming. Salvation is here. Provision is on the way. God, I declare I'm not going to be left alone. I am not left alone. I am your child. God, you are with me always. I will trust in you with all my heart. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm acknowledging you in everything, that your way is good, pleasing, and perfect. Your spiritual, supernatural reign here. God, you're going to make my path straight. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know where that job's coming from. I don't know how you're going to do it. But God, I'm laid out before you saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Come on, pray. Pray. This is a house of prayer. And right now we're about to stand up and we're going to sing a song, just one more song today. We're going to sing that we fall and we surrender before the Lord. And as we're worshiping God, listen, there are going to be spiritual prayer partners all around the room who would love to pray with you. And if you sense that, man, you just need somebody with a clean motive to pray for you for deliverance, for freedom, for salvation, for provision for you, whatever it is, whenever we stand up to sing and we're surrendering to God, you step out and you let us pray with you. Listen, the kingdom of God is here. It is now. The spiritual, supernatural power and presence of God are available. Lay hold of that with your praying. Lay hold of it with your worship. Let us engage with you as we sing and pray. Father, we love you. We bless you. As we stand to sing and worship, God, hear our prayers, hear our praise, answer from heaven, and bring your kingdom and your will, as in heaven, even on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.